welcome you into the last regular season edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, because when Tara and I get with you next week, the regular season, unless there's a game 163, will be over. So that's kind of crazy to think about. But I am your host, Daniel Shopton, C70 at the bat, at C70.com, and as always, Tara Wellman from Bird Seeds, Birds on the Black, and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. And, you know, Tara, last week, we did this show on Monday last week as the Cardinals were beating the Braves, although it got a little dicey for a while. The Cardinals then went out and won on Tuesday, lost on Wednesday, and then swept the Giants. So we're in a better place than we were last week after the Dodgers had kind of beaten on the Cardinals' postseason hopes. They go into this week a game and a half up on the Rockies, and while nothing is guaranteed, it's a lot better position to be in than they've been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot better position than I would ever have imagined them being in, 2 months ago. So there's a lot of really stressful moments yet to come before, we get to that show next week where we're talking about whatever the result of this week is. But this was, and, you know, I feel like I took a little bit of heat for it on the internet, because that's what happens when you have an opinion on the internet. But I was worried about this week. I was worried about this series with the Giants in particular, because this is a couple of things. I mean, there's some history as far as the Giants mm-hmm. ending the Cardinals' postseason hopes and dreams. But they're also, in any other sport, you call it a trap game, right? It's the game where you feel like you have no business losing, and then you do anyway. Sure, Madison Bumgarner has, been able to pitch well against the Cardinals in the past. But he's also the kind of pitcher that the Cardinals seem to find a way to do okay against. You put some no-name, basically minor league guys out there in the next few games, and that's certainly not giving them enough credit, but you get the point. Mm-hmm. That those are the games where the Cardinals have tended to struggle in the last couple of years. So there were a lot of ways this could go wrong. There were a lot of ways that this series, even perhaps more than the next two, could have been the dagger for a Cardinals team that has scraped and clawed their way back into a playoff spot. And fortunately, I was quite wrong about that as far as the result is concerned, and I'm happy to acknowledge that my worries did not come to fruition, although I do think that there was some relevance in the worry in the first place.
Well, absolutely. I mean, again, you come off that Dodgers series where they didn't look great, and it was just saved by an Adam Wainwright performance that you weren't sure he could duplicate. And this is a very young team. It's a team with a untested manager to some degree. There's a lot of argument to be said that they could have hit the wall and that was it. And, they were going into another division leader. And then, if you stumble against the Braves, and then, where are you at mentally, or, if you're a couple of games out of the wild card when you go into playing the Giants, it almost doesn't matter. There was definitely reasons for concern, and thankfully the Cardinals answered the questions right.
And it's not just that it was the Giants or even the Braves series before that. It's that the team, and you sort of mentioned it, depending on young arms mm-hmm. is risky and it's unpredictable. And we've seen some of these young starters look like they're maybe hitting a little bit of a wall as far as their ability to pitch effectively early in games enough to get them deeper into games. And then you're dealing with a bullpen that literally from day one has been shuffling pieces around, trying to just find the right mix that can get them, through the next change of personnel in the bullpen. And, we went for a while without seeing Jordan Hicks because of the Dodgers series or coinciding with that Dodgers series. We got Carlos Martinez now at the back end of the bullpen, and that's been successful, but it's also been a bit of an adventure. Then you've just got this mix of young arms that are super talented, but also completely out of their element as far as what what they've ever done before. And that's why, you know, having a good version of Adam Wainwright around is maybe there's no better timing for that than where the Cardinals are right now. But that's all of that combined, plus the fact that Matt Carpenter has been ice cold and that Jose Martinez is swinging out of his shoes on every pitch. And, you know, there's some offensive issues that we saw earlier in the year that have sort of come back to plague them in the month of September. And you add that to those young arms on the pitching staff, and all of a sudden, this is a much less powerful and capable team than we saw in August, coming into a week with the Braves and the Giants that was going to be just as crucial, you know, as this last week of the season. So there were a lot of ways things could have gone very wrong this week, and I'm, like I said, very happy that that my worries were for naught, at least for the moment.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the good things that it seems like this team has shown over the last 2 months especially, and again, you mark that change, you mark that managerial change because it's the easy place to mark things mm-hmm. from. It's not that everything was hunky-dory under Mike Shilton, that everything was terrible against under Mike Matheny, or if you can lay blame on or credit to the managers completely. But it seems like over the last 2 months that the Cardinals have done a pretty decent job of not letting things get out of control. You know, you start seeing a couple of bad games by the bullpen and you start thinking, okay, here we go again. They're never going to be able to be trusted. And they tend to right the ship, or the starting rotation has a bad pass through, like with the Dodgers and Gomber and Gant. And then they kind of right the ship and things get better. The offense looks bad for a couple of games and they put up, like this week, they put up double digits on Monday and got pretty close in a couple other games. So for whatever reason, it feels like things don't linger as much as they maybe used to, that we mm-hmm. don't have this recurring theme, even though there are, like you said, bullpen issues. The rotation is got some issues as well. It just doesn't feel like it's like, oh, here we go again all the time. Right. You know, the problems may shuffle around, but and still be there, but they're not constant, which is interesting.
Yeah, for example, as far as that's concerned, even in the first two games, really, of this Giants series, I was thinking about it after the O'Neill walk-off, and to me, that felt like a game that maybe even in August, maybe even in that stretch, although maybe not because everything was going so well for them, that game felt like a game that this team would have lost before. That felt like a game that they wouldn't have, you know, gotten the big strikeout in the 10th inning. They wouldn't have, you know, whatever it is, they wouldn't have gotten the big hit. They wouldn't have, that felt like a game that they would have let get away for whatever reason. And you never want to, I never want to say, well, they would have given up on that game before, but because of the moment and because of how critical every single one of those games was, especially getting that first win of the series was huge. Picking up that second win after, you know, everything had gone so well for so much of the night. And then, you know, they lose the lead. Then Yadi hits a big 2-run homer and all of that. Adam Wainwright pitching well again. It felt like a game that 2 months ago would have gotten away from them. And whether it's because they have made those adjustments and they're in a better spot as far as their ability to, I don't know, find a way to keep competing, or if it's that late season September baseball playoff game mentality where they just were not going to give in. It's nice to see them get those wins instead of lose those games, like we saw so much of the first half of the season and really a lot of last year as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is that little bit of difference that, and, you know, again, sometimes it's just, you know, they could have won some of those games earlier and they didn't, and they win them now. And so it just, but it they are winning them now. And that's all you can say. And that's a good thing. You talked a little bit about the rotation. It got a little bit of a bump this week with, you know, or hit a bump, I guess, might be better to say. Jack Flaherty giving up 5 runs in less than 5 innings, which is something we haven't seen out of Flaherty yet. Well, in a while. He's really been on a run. He goes against the Brewers tomorrow, a team that he has dominated this year. If he stumbles again tomorrow, are you concerned that he is hitting that wall? Because he's hitting, right at his maximum number of innings, or what he's pitched before, and the Cardinals only have a little bit of leeway, I think, of innings they want him to pitch anymore. Is that a worry?
I think it's definitely in the back of everyone's minds. I don't know that there's really a lot of concern about maybe the durability of a guy who's as athletic as Jack Flaherty. It's just the amount of reps, you know, it's just the amount of innings that pile up. And we've talked about this before, but they've been pretty high intensity innings for about a month now. Not necessarily because he's always got runners on base, but just because the importance of every one of those at bats has weighed on this entire team for the last month or so. He has gone six innings just one time in the four starts he's made in September. He didn't go less than six innings in the five starts, looks like, that he made in August. So it's definitely not been the same, but I think I want to see what he does in this next start before I jump to any sort of conclusion about the state of Jack Flaherty's arm, because, you know, he's proven himself capable of recovering from a less than stellar outing before. He's also put himself in position where it seems like the Cardinals want him pitching their big games, which is mind-boggling when you think about the fact that the only reason his first starts in St. Louis this year were because Adam Wainwright was hurt. It wasn't because he was supposed to be that guy. And now he's sort of, I made himself into almost the ace, or the co-ace with Miles Michaelis of this team, sort of by default, but also because of the way he's gone out and proven himself night after night. And, you know, some of that has involved coming back from maybe some subpar outings, at least as far as he's concerned. So he's definitely got the stuff. You know, he's not as much of an unknown anymore, so he's maybe not fooling as many people as he did early in the season. But he's a tough one to crack, and I think that he's going to be anxious to get out there and you know, stake his claim for a potential wild card game.
Yeah, and the only thing, I mean, you're right on, and I think that he's probably fine and really not too concerned about tomorrow's start, though we'll see how it goes. But I guess the one thing that is somewhat concerning is that if he pitches tomorrow against the Brewers, and depending on how things go, his next start may be the wild card game against the Brewers. And he's done very well against them this year, but you do wonder about a guy running, you know, against a good team like that two games in a row, with that second game being a make or break, go home type of game. But that may be barring a little bit of trouble, and we won't worry about that just yet. But that is just something to keep in mind. Now, another factor that has kind of blossomed this week, you know, we talked about Adam Wainwright's game against the Dodgers on Sunday, and we did wonder about, you know, can he do it again? Well, he goes into the game on Saturday and pitches, you know, six very good innings, and kind of let the game kind of got to him in the seventh, but still three runs and 6 2/3, I think, maybe 6 1/3. That's what you'd like to see out of an Adam Wainwright start for the most part. And it really feels like if there is a postseason rotation, Adam Wainwright's going to be part of it. And I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No, I think maybe for the first time in his career, there were even times where Adam Wainwright didn't see that coming. he may be the biggest advocate of his own capabilities, as most professional athletes are. But I think there were moments where he wasn't sure he was going to be able to play that part. And man, it's so good to see him out there doing what he does so well. It's interesting watching him adapt to what his stuff is now. You know, we've talked in the past about the fact that his inability to establish his fastball ends up becoming the problem for his off-speed stuff as well, which is not rocket science. That's pretty normal for starting pitchers. But he's gone to that curveball, at least in this last start, so much more because it's working, and because he can do different things with that than he can when he's not locating the fastball. So it's so interesting to me, the timing of the resurgence of Adam Wainwright. I don't know if you can call it that after two good starts, but we're gonna go with it. Because of the youth in this starting rotation for the Cardinals heading into any sort of potential October baseball. Because Adam Wainwright, as much as his postseason resume isn't spectacular, he's been there. And that's one thing that nobody else that's starting for the Cardinals right now can say. So that experience factor plays in big. I think the confidence that getting someone like Wainwright back can add to a team as a whole can be huge. The wild card remains, what is his body going to do? Is the age going to betray him at some point and keep him from being able to go out there and throw six strong innings? I mean, that's what we have to wait and see. But if he can do what he's done in his last two starts, he's certainly a valuable part of anything the Cardinals do the remainder of this season.
Yeah, we talked, what, it feels like a month, maybe a little bit more than that ago, about talking about Michael Wacha and his return and what it would mean to this rotation because of exactly what you're saying, that experience factor that they have of a guy that's been to the postseason and been able to have success. And that, obviously, Adam Wainwright has had some miscues on the big stages, as you will, but he does have at least one signature moment in the postseason, maybe a couple if you want to take them all from 2006. And but yeah, just having the experience of the big games, whether they're postseason or not, can only help this team. So it's fun to see him come back like this. And it's just, I mean, again, we'll talk about what this means for 2019 and what it means for Adam Wainwright's future, if he even wants a future, which is a very interesting question. I think that's going to come up, but that's off season talk. We don't really need it now. Right now, we just know that there's a good chance he'll go pitch in Wrigley Field this week, depending on how this week plays out. It's kind of fun. You really don't know what that rotation is going to be like in Chicago. It just kind of depends on how they do against the Brewers and how the Rockies do against Philadelphia, and we'll just see how that all kind of works out this week. So that's, but he's probably going to pitch against the Cubs at some point in time this weekend. It is really weird to think that it is possible that Adam Wainwright has thrown his last pitch at Busch Stadium. I mean, that's, I don't really want to think
Way to
that.
bring down the mood.
I am a depressing person. I realize this, but if it is, at least he went out with two games this week that
They were
showed that he
huge.
still had something.
And they were huge, not just for Adam Wainwright, but for this team in the circumstances that he was pitching in. I mean, I don't know anyone who felt good about Adam Wainwright being the stopper in the Dodgers series in that last game. And he went out and got a really important victory, at least in part because of the performance he put on that night. And the same thing again for this Giants series. Every one of these games counts right now, and with a young rotation, you hope that if you put that veteran guy out there, you're going to get exactly what you did from Wainwright.
You were talking a bit ago about the bullpen and it's Jordan Hicks and Carlos Martinez, and that seems to be about it. And I think that's true. I mean, if you look at their usage, it feels like Mike Shildt tries to stretch three innings out of those two guys, whatever combination it may be, a lot more often than we've seen earlier, whether it's Hicks for two and Martinez for one or vice versa. And that's partly because there is some trust issues out there. I mean, Tyson Ross seems to do fine, cleaning up messes and doing things like that. But you're not, I mean, he's your, I don't want to say break glass reliever or like they used to say, but he's kind of that. He just gets used a little bit more often. He's your long guy, which you need for this young rotation to be able to take them out after three or four innings, or if they require to be taken out then. Other than that, I mean, who are guys that you feel like if they come out, you're fine with that? I mean, there's not many of them.
No, I feel pretty good about John Brebbia right now. For the most part, he's been able to come into any situation that he's put into, which is one of the downsides of maybe not being one of those premier relievers is that you kind of just take whatever's left. And that's I'm clearly being facetious, but the Brebbia has sort of earned some of those higher leverage spots. Mike Schilt has talked about that a little bit this week. And it's been interesting to see the change in usage as some of those the guys that maybe you would have had in those spots, particularly a Bud Norris, don't seem to be capable of doing that for whatever reason right now. Brebbia steps in and he's kind of a weird dude, and it's amazing and wonderful, and I wish that we got more access to the weirdness that is John Brebbia. But when he's out there on the mound, he seems really capable in any situation. That it's not to say that he's flawless. It's not that he's going out there with 105 or with this, wicked breaking ball or what Carlos Martinez brings to the table, but he goes out there and is consistent, and that's something that we haven't seen a whole lot of from the young guys, even like the Dakota Hudsons, and to some degree, whether it's been out of the rotation or out of the bullpen, Austin Gomber, ton of talent, not so much consistency. And I feel like that's one thing that Brebbia has done quite well. So I feel pretty good about him being out there in some of those higher leverage situations, in some late game situations, maybe sort of joining that Carlos Martinez, Jordan Hicks duo as some key outs at the back end of the bullpen. I would like to say the same thing about someone like Dominic Leone or even Dakota Hudson, but again, there's just not been the consistency to really buy into what they're doing. Mike Myers has had his moments throughout the season. I don't think he's been quite as effective since the last time he came back. So your options get pretty limited pretty quick when you're looking at three guys that you trust to get outs, particularly when you're talking about runners on base or high leverage moments at the end of games.
Yeah, I mean, Hudson has pitched better this week than I expected because I've gotten to the point where I expect nothing out of him when he comes in. And I don't say that. I think that, he's in a tough situation and it's at the end of a long season. And he doesn't strike out batters, so that you're just adding. It's kind of a volatile mix there, but he's had some good outings this week. But you're right. I just think that besides maybe outside of Brebbia, there are people that can do the job, but you're not sure they're going to do the job. And I guess everybody kind of has these problems. I mean, you seems like everywhere you look, people are complaining about the bullpen, except for maybe Boston, which I don't know if they're complaining about anything.
They shouldn't be if they are.
Probably not, but it is Boston fans, so they probably have something to complain about. Anyway, we're not ever going to be really excited about Boston fans, are we? That's just fair. I mean, they're not
That's fair.
listening, so it's
No.
okay.
If they are, I have no idea why. Should probably have
Yeah.
much better things to do with their Sunday
Very.
evening.
Anyway, so the Cardinals, I mean, we're really hit it here. I mean, this is it.
It's crazy.
A week of, as you said, very stressful baseball. It becomes very hard sometimes to watch these games. It's not as bad as it is when the postseason, when every game is almost a take, definite win or go home. At least now you've got this idea that, you may lose, but the Rockies may lose, that kind of thing. And so there's a little bit of ease there, but it's getting to that time. But, as you've pointed out, they've been doing this for
Yeah.
2 months and doing it well. So if, while they won't, a lot of these guys won't have experience in October per se, they're going to know how to play postseason baseball.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think that if Mike Schilt is as smart as he appears to be, he will be utilizing that in talking with these young guys that, hey, we've been playing for our lives for the last 2 months, and here we are giving ourselves a chance the last week of the season to do something really special. So I don't know that correlates exactly to the experience of postseason baseball, but nonetheless, it's certainly good for these young guys to have to have that pressure, to feel the urgency of every game and every time they step on the field, knowing that it matters. And that's, it's, I don't know how much of that will translate, but it certainly has to be helpful in the development of these young guys that most of them know how to win championships. They've done it at the AAA or, mm-hmm. or even AA mm-hmm. levels. So it's not that they don't know how to win. It's just that this point of the season, it's a different challenge, a different test physically, and then the pressure mentally of the major league postseason bearing down on you like it is. You know, that all comes into play, obviously, but you're right. I think there's a silver lining to the intensity of the last couple of months of baseball for the Cardinals, and that is that they are quite used to playing as if every game could be their last at this point. And not to continue to draw parallels to other successful Cardinal seasons, but that's something you heard a lot about in the 2011 season, when that last week of the year, that last day of the season, was so complicated for so many teams, and the Cardinals really were kind of had their backs against the wall for an extended period of time that season as well. And they talked about how it got to a point where it almost felt normal to know that you absolutely have to win today or your season's going to be over. So, you know, maybe that'll have a similar impact on some of these young guys going forward throughout this last week that, man, I don't know who had the crystal ball when MLB decided the schedule for this season, but you couldn't draw it up to be any more dramatic than to have the three teams at the top of the NL Central duking it out for postseason positions.
Two last things before I get to one of them. I did not even realize this tells you how out of it I was this weekend. I did not realize that Edmundo Sosa had been called up until I looked at the box score from today's game. So that's an interesting situation, and it probably ties in with the other situation that I felt like we should talk about, because I would probably get in trouble if we did not, and that is Colton Wong's hamstrings. Wong's out for a couple of days, and how serious is this, and how much of an impact is that going to make this week?
It's weird that they're not wanting to say a whole lot about it. That concerns me a little bit. There was also confirmation of this knee issue that has been mentioned before. It was sort of when Colton came back off the DL the last time, or maybe it was when he, you know, tweaked a hamstring the last time, whatever the case was, there was sort of this, oh, by the way, mention of a knee issue that may require surgery in the offseason. It was just like a footnote to the actual injury issue.
Or
and
a knee note.
Right. No one really jumped on it, and I was like, I'm sorry, did anyone else see the fact that Colton might have to have knee surgery in the anyway? So that came up again today and was talked about as maybe part of what is kind of exaggerating the hamstring issue, maybe some sort of compensating for that has created these recurring hamstring problems. That's all really assumption at this point, because the Cardinals are not saying a whole lot. Colton is insisting that he could have been out there playing today. And in fact, there was some quote about how if he had to cut both his legs off, he'd still play. I'm not sure he really thought that through before he said it. I know that he is pretty spectacular defensively, but I think some of the range might be a touch limited, you know, if he can't run. But yeah. Point being, the heart of a champion is there, if nothing else. But no, it is concerning. I mean, we saw Jairo Munoz today make some great, have some clutch at bats. We also saw him make a couple of errors that ended up costing runs. And that's sort of what you get with Jairo Munoz playing second base. As far as Sosa is concerned, they've sort of downplayed that as a direct result of their concern about Colton Wong. But I think it's very clear that that's the case. He's there as a bit of a backup, and he ended up walking in his first at bat and scoring on a home run, couple pitches later. So great day for him. Great day for major league debuts. Gallegos also got in the game today after his call up and pitched the ninth. So it's nice that the Cardinals were in a position in the last game of this series to provide some of those major league debuts and not do so because, you know, they were already down by 6 runs.
Yeah. Yeah. Although it's probably, I don't know if it's telling or not, but, you know, on the day where those two guys make their major league debuts, Carson Kelly still can't get into the lineup. Yeah. Which,
that guy. No.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's really, really weird because Carson Kelly last played, he played an inning in that blowout Dodger game a week ago, and that was the last time that Carson Kelly has played. So that's, I don't know. I know it's Yachty. I know blah, blah, blah. It's everything. But that Kelly situation is just something that I don't know that I quite grasp yet. But such is life, I guess. All right. So this is it. We will be with you next week, next Sunday night, talking about, hopefully we're looking ahead to the playoffs. Hopefully we're looking ahead to that wild card game, I think, as while the division is still not officially decided, I think we can kind of safely assume that the Cardinals, if they're playing in October, they're playing in that wild card game.
I would like to save our miracles for October, absolutely, not for the last week of September.
Yeah, because, you know, I think this is fairly true. No team since the addition of the second wild card that has, you know, no wild card team has won, have they? I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I don't feel like, I think it's always been a division winner since that. Nobody's won that play-in game because it's an extra game. It's an extra, you know, it is that disadvantage. That's part of why they did that, is to make it a disadvantage in the NLDS and so on. So it's only fitting that the Cardinals become the first team to do that and win the World Series out of that spot. And I mean, there's no reason to think that they couldn't. So. And I'm fairly sure that we should set the bars that they do that.
Right.
So. Anyway, Tara and I will be with you next week. We'll talk about what happened this week and hopefully looking forward to a little bit of postseason baseball. But until then, that is Tara and I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.